Celeste Ng is in the studio with me tonight. Her debut novel, Everything I Never Told You, was a New York Times bestseller, a New York Times notable book of 2014, and Amazon's number one best book of 2014. It won the Massachusetts Book Award, the Asian Pacific American Award for Literature, and the ALA's Alex Award. Tonight, we're going to talk about her latest novel, Little Fires Everywhere, which is already on People Magazine's Best Books of the Fall list. Celeste, I'm delighted to welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you so much for having me.
So here we are in Ohio, and I should say welcome back because you spent part of your growing up years in
Shaker
Heights.
I think of Ohio as my home state, so it's nice to be back.
Good. Well, the novel, Little Fires Everywhere, is set in Shaker Heights, where you grew up. And I thought you might just start by reading a description of Shaker Heights as it is written in your book.
Sure. Winslow Road was one of a long line of duplexes, but standing on the curb, you would not have known it. From the outside, you saw only one front door, one front door light, one mailbox, one house number. You might, perhaps, spot the two electrical meters, but those, per city ordinance, were concealed at the back of the house, along with the garage. Only if you came into the entryway would you see the two inner doors, one leading to the upstairs apartment, one to the downstairs, and their shared basement beneath. Every house on Winslow Road held two families, but outside appeared to hold only one. They had been designed that way on purpose. It allowed residents to avoid the stigma of living in a duplex house, of renting instead of owning, and allowed the city planners to preserve the appearance of the street, as everyone knew neighborhoods with rentals were less desirable. Shaker Heights was like that. There were rules, many rules, about what you could and could not do, as Pearl and Mia began to learn as they settled into their new home. They learned to write their new address, 18434 Winslow Road, up, those two little letters ensuring that their mail ended up in their apartment and not with Mr. Yang downstairs. In Shaker Heights, there was a plan for everything. When the city had been laid out in 1912, one of the first planned communities in the nation, schools had been situated so that all children could walk without crossing a major street. Side streets fed into major boulevards, with strategically placed rapid transit stops to ferry commuters into downtown Cleveland. In fact, the city's motto was, literally, as Lexi would have said, "Most communities just happen. The best are planned." The underlying philosophy being that everything could and should be planned out, and that by doing so, you could avoid the unseemly, the unpleasant, and the disastrous.
Thank you. In one review that I read of your book, it described motherhood as a battlefield. And I think that's certainly evident here, but it's much more than that also. And there are two main moms and then two secondary characters that are also mothers. So let's start with Elena Richardson, because she spent almost her entire life, except her college years, in Shaker Heights. And so tell us who she is, what her life's like, who her children are.
Yeah, so Mrs. Richardson is the matriarch of the Richardson family. She's got four teenagers who are all at the high school in this community. She's a reporter for the local paper. Her husband is a lawyer in the city. And she and her whole family really sort of embody the ethos of Shaker Heights, or they like to think they do anyway. Mrs. Richardson has been there for several generations. Her grandparents were there. Her parents live there. And they're very sort of order-focused, rule-focused. They're sort of this platonic ideal of a family, or again, so they think. And of course, they're not always quite as progressive or quite as kind and charitable and aware as they think they are.
And she has four children, and they each are individuals and well-described, I think, in your book. So the title, Little Fires Everywhere, actually starts with a big fire. And we, to some extent, work backwards from there. Izzy, one of Elena's children, is actually who is suspected of starting the fire.
Yeah, we learn right at the beginning that the Richardson's house is burning to the ground. And we learn fairly soon thereafter that Izzy, who is the youngest of the four Richardson children, is the one who's sort of responsible for this. And she's the rebel of the family. She's sort of the black sheep. She's a little bit of a misfit. And a lot of the story has to do sort of with the relationship between her and her mother, and between her and another mother in the story, her friend's mother, Mia.
And that is who we'll talk about next, because Mia comes into this very ordered community, and she herself is an outlier. Her daughter, Pearl, is her family. They're just the two of them. And she's an artist.
Right. They're the strangers who come from out of town. And so they don't know the rules of the community, and they don't really follow the rules of the community either. They live a very, very different existence than the Richardsons do. They've been moving around rather than sort of being rooted through generations. Mia's an artist, as you said, and whenever she sort of needs inspiration or feels the need to move, she and her daughter Pearl pack up all their things into their little Volkswagen and they drive somewhere else. So they really don't have a lot of possessions. They don't have a lot of roots. And they're very, very different in their outlook in life. And of course, these two families being so different are sort of eyeing each other and interested in each other. They're, you know, kind of fascinated by how different those lives are.
So in order to support her artist's work, Mia takes part-time jobs, one of which in this case is as a waitress. And she works with another waitress whose name is Bibi. And as it happens, Elena has a very good friend who is in the process of adopting an Asian child, a Chinese child. So these are the other two mothers that come into it. And we also discover that Mia has a interesting past, which we're not going to talk about,
right,
because it's
no spoilers,
no,
right?
No.
But yeah, so Mrs. Richardson's very good friends are adopting an Asian baby, Chinese American baby that's been abandoned at a fire station, and they haven't been able to have children, and they've been raising this child as their own. The biological mother, it turns out, is Mia's friend from work and wants her baby back. And this custody battle splits the town and also puts Mrs. Richardson and Mia on opposing sides. And that leads Mrs. Richardson to start sort of digging into Mia's past, as you alluded to.
Your first novel was so well received, justifiably, and certainly congratulations on that. And as I was reading this, I thought, you know, in this culture, the question then is, what next great thing are you going to do? So I'm just curious, because this novel is just out, but also very well received. And I'm wondering if there was that pressure on you. What do you do with that in your life? Can you ignore it?
It's very surreal. I'm really an introvert as a personality. And I think most writers, you know, we kind of work alone. We spend a lot of time alone and with the imaginary people that we made up in our heads. And so to have the book come out into the world, my first book, Everything I Never Told You, was a really wonderful and kind of humbling thing. And when it came time to write another book, I did feel some pressure because I'd found such a big, warm readership and I didn't want to disappoint them. I'm sort of by nature a people pleaser. And so I tried to think of it as, you know, a lot of readers sort of standing in my corner cheering me on. And I hoped that they would be willing to follow me to Shaker Heights to follow these two other families.
Well, and I think interesting also to write about your hometown and the secrets that you may uncover and how that will affect people who still live there. So I want to thank you very much for visiting with us tonight and wish you all the best. I hope there's a new novel that's swirling around in your head now. You have something coming up.
I've got two ideas right now that are sort of slowly starting to take shape in my head, and I'm sort of waiting to see what coalesces, but it means I'm in the fun stage of being able to sort of read a lot and go to museums and think a lot and kind of see what sparks some new ideas for me.
Wonderful. We'll look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for visiting with us tonight. I've been talking with Celeste Ng about her latest book, which is titled Little Fires Everywhere. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.